I am so, so glad for this opportunity to come to you in Jesus' name with a psalm of praise, the grand finale of them all, 150. 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound or trumpet blast. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now, Father, would you open the heavens and come down among us today in this grand finale, this final psalm. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This final psalm is all about praise. You know, there are stories that aren't true, but they still have a point. And I've got a story that isn't true, but it's got a point, and I want to tell it. There were two farmers. One was an optimist and one was a pessimist. They lived right next to each other, and they were always talking across the fence to each other. The optimist one day said to the pessimist, "Wonderful sunshine today, isn't it?" Pessimist replied, "It's going to scorch the crops." Another day it was raining just lightly, and the optimist said, "Fine rain, isn't it?" The pessimist replied, "It's going to turn into a flood." The optimist added, "Have you seen my new bird dog?" The pessimist replied, "You mean that mutt penned up behind your house? Doesn't look like much to me." The optimist added, "How about if we go hunting together?" He said, "Sure." So they went out together and they both shot some ducks, and all the ducks landed on the water. And so the optimist told his dog obediently to go fetch the ducks. And so the dog immediately whoosh, ran across the top of the water, picked up three ducks and brought them back, and the optimist turned to him. He says, "What do you think of that?" Pessimist replied, "Can't swim, can he?" You're going to have a hard time with this message if you're a pessimist. I just want to tell you ahead of time, this message is a message of praise. And as we have a message of praise, we need to be able to smile. We need to be able to praise God with everything in us. You know, there are some times when there's certain people can walk in a room and it's like, They walked in the room. Something comes over, a pall comes over the room. If God is working in our life and we are praising the Lord, people will delight when we walk in the room. They ought to delight that we're there because praise is on our lips. Praise is in our life. Praise is in our soul, our spirit. In a church recently, not this one, been fine if it were, a lady started praying quite often when they would ask for prayer. And she would always pray the very same thing. It went the very same way. Five words, that's all she prayed. Sometimes she'd repeat the five words. But it went like this. "Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus." Well, everyone started laughing whenever she got up to pray because every time she prayed the same thing. "Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus." One day a man in church just decided to ask her. He said, "Why do you always pray that same prayer?" Well, she said, "I'm just combining two prayers that I know best. You see, we live in a bad neighborhood. And some nights there are bullets that are flying. And I grab my daughter and we jump down almost under the bed. We get down there on the floor and we hold on for dear life. And all I can pray is, "Oh, Lord." And she says, when I wake up in the morning and realize we're both safe, I say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And then she says, I take my little baby girl to the bus stop. When I take her to the bus, I don't know what's going to happen all day long to her on the bus or on the way home. All I know to say is, "Oh, Lord." And when I see the bus come back and she gets off the bus, I say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." So she says, when I come to church, I just take those two prayers and I combine them. "Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." I want you to know, as I preach this final message, this grand finale, this last one, on Psalm 150. I tell you, when I saw some of those imprecatory psalms that are calling down judgment, and I just looked at them, I said, "Oh, Lord." And when I was done, I'd always say, "Thank you, Jesus." When I came to some of the laments, and they were just lamenting over how bad things were, I remember looking and saying, "Oh, Lord." And then, when I was done, "Thank you, Jesus." And now as I've come to the end, I want you to know that many a time, as we've been preaching these psalms, I've said, "Oh, Lord." And then I've said, "Thank you, Jesus." And when I come to the end of this series now today, I just want to say in front of all of you, to you, Lord, "Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the psalms, all 150 of them." Are you ready for this last psalm of praise? I hope you are. Pastor Paul Brown said this. He said, "This psalm is like a final burst of light and color at a 4th of July fireworks display." How many of you, if you don't even like fireworks, enjoy the... just goes on for about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes at the end. It's just like they take $10,000 and shoot it sky high. Boom, 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 bam, 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 bam. And all of this is just going off. And all of us, patriotism rises up in us. It's quite a day. It's quite a night. It's about 10:20 in our town when it goes off. Danny Barker in Omaha, as a pastor, decided when he preached this message, he was going to call it "Let Your Balloon Go." Let your balloon go. And so, here with all of these people, hundreds and hundreds of people, as they walked into church, they had the ushers giving out helium balloons. And they said to them, "You'll be instructed on what to do with the balloon. Hold on to your balloon." Well, when he started the message, he entitled it, "Let Your Balloon Go." And he says, "During this message, I want you to understand this unique thing we're going to do. I want you to feel praise and glory and joy well up in your heart. And when you really feel that praise and that glory to God, then just release your balloon and let it go up." Well, all through the message as he preached, "Let Your Balloon Go," different people, you could just see the balloons going up in church. Hundreds of them went up. But when they got to the end of the message and he was all done, a third of the people still were holding their balloons. And so he said very loudly, "Let your balloon go." And now hundreds more went up. I think this psalmist here, whoever he is, and we have no idea who he is, I think he let his balloon go. I think he let his praise rise to the Lord. And I want us to learn to let our praise rise to the Lord, to let the balloon of our praise rise to Him. Now, the psalm is real simple. Doesn't matter who you see preaching it. Almost everybody preaches it the same way because it answers the interrogatives of praise to God. Where, why, how, and who. There's nothing new about that, except each person in their own way attempting to do business with this psalm of praise. It's a simple outline. Where should we praise the Lord? Why should we praise the Lord? How should we praise the Lord? And who should we praise? The Lord. And so it's that simple. If you're taking notes, and I hope you will, let's start out with the first one. Where should we praise the Lord? Notice verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. This name for praise the Lord is an interesting word. It appears for the very first time in Genesis 2 and verse 4, where we read, "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God," two different words, "made the earth and the heavens." Lord and God. The word God there is the word Elohim. It's the plural of majesty. It means Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why it's not just El. Once in a while you'll see El for God, meaning one God. But most of the time it's Elohim in the Hebrew. And so the word God out of Lord God is Elohim. But now that other word, when we see it all the time in the Psalms, praise the Lord, we find it there in Genesis 2:4. It is the Hebrew letters that are known as the divine tetragrammaton, and the Jews won't even put in the vowel pointings. It's YHWH, which we pronounce Yahweh or Jehovah. Both of them are right, just different ways of putting the vowel pointings in. And it means, "I am that I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I am that I am. The word for praise the Lord is a compound Hebrew word. It takes two Hebrew words, halal, which means praise, and another Hebrew word, yah, which is an abbreviated form of Yahweh. And it puts the two Hebrew words together and it spells halal yah. Two Hebrew words, and we just make it into English, hallelujah. And the yah part is the Lord, Yahweh. Praise to the Lord. Now, where should we praise Yahweh? Where should we praise Jehovah? Where should we praise the Lord, the great I am? In the first place, there's two places here. The first place is in God's sanctuary. The Hebrew word for sanctuary is kodesh. It means literally a place set apart. Just look around here, folks, right now and praise the Lord. We've had some damage lately and we had things taken out over here and we're getting the mitigation done and we're getting upstairs the flooring done this week. But let me tell you, this is a sacred place. It's a kodesh. It's a place set apart. It means a specific place where believers gather to worship the Lord. Kodesh means a sacred place, a holy place, a dedicated place, a hallowed place, a consecrated place to worship God. In Scripture, God makes it clear He intends for us as believers to be diligent and faithful in His house, regularly assembling for corporate worship. Hebrews 10:25. It says, "And let us consider how to provoke or stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble or meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of His return drawing near." If we used another interrogative, when, and I didn't choose to use it, but we could have found it here, when should we worship? We would have simply said, well, this only covers part of it in this psalm. Because he tells us here to worship God in His sanctuary. But you say, can't we worship Him in private? No, we're to worship Him all the time, we find in the Psalms, all the time, in all our lives. Nevertheless, millions of people, you know what they say? They casually say, if you say, "I've missed you in church," or whatever, "I've missed you, I haven't seen you." I've heard this way over 100 times over the years, maybe hundreds of times, without exaggerating. "Pastor, I worship God in my own way." Have you ever heard that? "I worship God in my own way. In the mountains, or at the lake, or when I'm fishing, or at the beach, or all alone. And I hear God saying to them, no, 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 that's not all there is. There's more," and He's talking about it here. "Praise me with my saints. Praise me with my people. Praise me in the sanctuary." God wants united praise as well as private praise. The second place to worship Him is the mighty heavens, or the firmament of His power. It's an interesting word. The Hebrew word for firmament or mighty heavens is rakia. R-A-Q-I-Y-A, it means expanse. It's speaking about the visible arch. When you look up into the heavens and you see the sun pass over in that arch, the visible arch, worship Him in the mighty heavens. It also means that which is fixed, that which is steadfast, rather than that which is solid. You never talk about solid air, and yet we talk about fixed and steadfast. I'm so glad that there's air in this room, or we'd all stop breathing. Praise Him in the rakia. Genesis 1:6 says, "And God said, let there be a rakia, an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And in Genesis 1:8 it says, "And God called the rakia, the expanse, the firmament, heaven." But the psalmist is broadening the picture because he uses another word. Praise Him in the heavens of His power. That's what it literally says, in the heavens of His power. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means praise Him to the extent of where His power reaches. Where is the extent of His power? How far does it reach? There's no end. The expanse, it never stops. It goes throughout the universe or the universes, the galaxy or the galaxies. The expanse of God's power covers all His creation, the earth and the heavenly bodies and outer space, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. It includes also the expanse where God and His angels dwell, where redeemed people are taken home to glory, where Betty Dobson is, where Ray and Margaret Reese are, where Paul Thompson is, Gene. Isn't it wonderful? That's the rakia. It's part of the rakia. Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things that are not lawful to be uttered. That's part of the expanse, the rakia. Everywhere you and I go, or everywhere we will ever go for all eternity, is part of God's rakia, where He has power and control. It's the expanse of His power. Praise should continually well up in our hearts, and we should express that praise without restraint. In fact, praise that is unexpressed in thought, word, or deed fails to be praise. If you say, "Well, I really am praising the Lord," you're not unless it's in thought, word, or deed. God wants us in thought, word, and deed to praise Him. Where should we praise Him? In His sanctuary, as well as in private. We should praise Him in His mighty expanse, in His creation. Now, the second interrogative is, why should we praise the Lord? Verse 2 says, "Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness." Warren Wiersbe calls this praising God for His acts and His attributes. Well, those two A's go together, but here I see mighty deeds or acts. It's what God does. So what do we praise God for? In the beginning, God what? Created. We praise Him for His creation. We praise Him not only for His creation, but for His redemption, which begins with the prophecies, the miraculous prophecies that are fulfilled in His virgin birth, in His sinless life, in His sinless sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And then He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then He rose from the dead for our justification. It includes His ascension and His soon return. And then it refers to all the great experiences of miracles all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Incredible miracles, whether you're talking about Daniel in the lion's den, whether you're talking about Jonah and the whale, whether you're talking about anything in the Old Testament, the Red Sea parting. But what about you? What about me? Praise Him in the Red Sea experiences for you. How many times have you come up against a wall and the enemy's behind you and God has opened up a way for you? How many times? Praise Him. Praise the Lord. How many times has some miracle happened? And like Elijah in 1 Kings 18 that I'm memorizing and I hope you will memorize, or Ephesians, one of those two passages, or any of the others. When are you going to be able to say, I see it, I see over and over that just like God sent fire, God sent something in my life, and I can say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Praise the Lord. What about your Jonah experiences? How many times have you been in the woodshed and you felt like you were in the belly of a whale? It wasn't good there. And then God, by His grace, said, vomit him out. That's long enough. And you came out and decided to do what God said. How many times has He used discipline and you praised Him that the discipline is over? You know, how many times has He fed you? As He fed the 5,000 miraculously. Where did the money come from? How many times has He made you the spiritual lame to walk? How many times has He reached down and broken the chains of your addiction and my addictions? How many times has He healed us? Through a divine hand, through medication, through surgery. How many times has He delivered us from probable? It was going to happen. We saw the accident was going to happen and somehow it didn't happen. How many times? How many times has He done those mighty deeds for us? Myriads of miraculous deeds. He has controlled the forces of nature. He stilled the water. He stopped the storm for our benefit. But the mightiest act He's ever done for me and He's ever done for you, we haven't even mentioned yet. You know what it is? He saved my soul. He saved my wicked, sinful soul. And if you know Him, He saves your wicked, sinful soul too. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And John W. Peterson took those words and he made them into a beautiful song that really became popularized by George Beverly Shea at Billy Graham revivals and crusades all over America and around the world. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny, a God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky, it took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, what did it take? It took a miracle of love and grace. We also praise God, not just for His mighty deeds, but we praise Him for His excellent greatness, His divine attributes. Just think of a very few with me, just a very few. Every time our family gets together, my siblings, we always sing one song. We'll never part, even if it's just part of us, without singing, great is Thy what? Faithfulness. Now, all of us, from our late 70s down through 60, are singing it more often. Great is Thy faithfulness. Psalm 30, verse 9 says, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Great is your loving kindness. Psalm 101, verse 1. I'll sing of the loving kindness and the tender mercy. And justice to you, O Lord, I'll sing praises. We sing of His goodness, Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy, His chesed, His loving kindness endures forever. His name, Psalm 135:3. Sing praises to His name, for it is lovely. His justice, Psalm 101:1. I'll sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord, I'll sing praises. His truth, Psalm 117:2. The truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. His glory, Psalm 96:3. Tell of His glory among the nations. Psalm 96:5. Tell of His strength, His splendor, His beauty and majesty. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. His creation, Psalm 96:5, "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Now, those are just a few of His attributes. But I didn't mention the one that I've been reading about so much and hearing about. As I listen to the Word and as I read it, I'm in this Bible project with Pastor Will. I don't know how many of you are in it, but I'm way ahead because I know I've got some trips and things coming up I've got to be a part of. And it's hard to keep all those things going with schedules. So I'm ahead to Numbers 8. But when I'm in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you know the attribute of God that I see more often than not. The one that just stands out to me. And I see all the sacrifices. And I've been saying lately, when I just have the slightest unintentional sin, as I read in Leviticus, and it just comes to my mind, Lord says, I don't want that. And I think, there's another dead bull. There's another lamb. There's another ram. There's another goat. What if I lived in the Old Testament? The holiness of God. The holiness of God. The holiness of God. At the turn of the millennium, Kent Henry wrote a song, and if you know it, you can sing it with me. When I look into Your holiness, when I gaze into Your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You, when I've found the joy of reaching Your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in Your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You. You may know this part. I worship You. I worship You. The reason I live is to worship You. I worship You. I worship You. The reason I live is to worship You. I told you where to worship Him. In His sanctuary as well as in private. In the great expanse of His mighty power, wherever you are, there is His power. I told you to worship Him. Why? Because of His mighty miracles, His mighty deeds, because of His incredible attributes. Number 3, verses 3 to 5, how should we praise the Lord? Notice verse 3 to 5, praise Him with trumpet blast, with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. When the psalmist tells us all of these things to praise Him with, do you think that's exhaustive? No, it's indicative. It's indicative. It's indicative that He's giving us examples from which we can pick so many more. And I haven't named them all. But He starts out with instruments. And then another way He'll share with us as well. First of all, instruments. What about the wind instruments? Trumpet sound, the ram's horn, the shofar, the clarinet, the oboe, the flute, the piccolo, the bassoon, the tuba. On and on it goes. Trombone. I think of all of them. I've left a number out. He goes on and on. Praise Him with string instruments, lute and harp. Add guitars of all sorts. Steel guitar, bass guitar, rhythm guitar. Dobro, dulcimer, violin, cello, viola, ukulele, bass, viol, sitar. On it goes. Then there's percussion, tambourine, sounding cymbals, high clashing sounding cymbals. This could well include a xylophone, triangles, maracas, gongs, timpani, drums, bass drums, snare drums, bongo drums, boxes. Anything you can beat on. Juice harps. Whatever you can do that has any kind of sound and percussion, go on. Marimba, chimes, bells. On and on with all the percussion. Then there's strings and pipe. It includes the piano, the organ, the pipe organs, the keyboards, the harpsichord, the auto harp. so many more. It goes on. God is saying with instruments, pull out the stops with me. God is saying, make a beautiful, harmonious sound with all the instruments in such a way that I'm honored and people's hearts are drawn to me as Creator and Redeemer. And then you say, you're going to preach on this next one? Absolutely. There it is, right in the Word. Do you see it? What is it? What? Who said it? That's right. Joanne Dance. God continues. He says, worship Him. That's with your body as an instrument of dancing. Are you kidding? Yes. The Scripture says so. Ecclesiastes 3:4 tells us there's a time to mourn and there's a time to what? Dance. This psalmist in Psalm 149 tells us there's a place for praise in dancing. It says in 149 last week, verse 3, let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. You say, well, you're going to have to prove that to me. I'm going to try right now. I'm going to try to give you some specifics in case you want to know how to praise Him with dancing. We're not given specifics as to how to do it. But we know from the Scripture that God teaches modesty and purity. And we know that dancing, just like instruments, could be used for God or against Him. It can be good playing of instruments or bad. It can be good dancing or bad dancing. Dancing that praises God must be pure and chaste and wholesome, never suggestive, never sexually provocative. It should be joyous and spontaneous, Holy Spirit-inspired movements that express joy and gratitude. Dancing should be used for praising God, not for showing off me or showing off you, our person, any more than playing an instrument is to show off how good we are on it, but to praise the Lord. Dancing should be a joyful expression of praise by someone who is deeply committed to the Lord, someone who isn't just running on emotion, who isn't just trying to impress others. When David, King David, took off his kingly robes and began to dance, he said it was before the Lord. All of our instrument playings, all of our dancing should be before the Lord. There shouldn't even be the slightest suggestion of immodesty. Any dancing should be seen by God's people, as 1 Corinthians 14:40 says. Let all things be done decently and in order. Any instrument or any dancing that disrupts worship rather than enhancing it, that causes confusion rather than encouraging commitment, does not honor God. Now I want to give you a couple examples of how to learn about dancing. Don't come to me and ask to learn to dance. I've only really danced a little bit in private, and I step all over my wife's toes. I grew up in a culture that dance and Christianity, it's like the words weren't here in the Word. And so dance was bad. My mother was saved from dancing and cards. And so dancing was bad. But the Scripture says he danced before the Lord, and here it says dance. But I'm just saying, don't come to me for lessons. But if you come tonight for the worship, there's a lady that helps lead worship here on Sunday night that will teach you a thing or two about moving with music. And that's Jan St. Clair. And that woman moves to the music. But I'll tell you, if you really want to take lessons, you're going to have to get with some of the Nigerians in our church that have learned to dance before the Lord. I can't forget, as long as I live, when 22 Nigerians joined our church and came singing. Did you remember it? They came singing and dancing into this church. And I want you to know, I felt the Holy Ghost come down. And I felt something chills go up and down my spine. And I said, yes, Lord, this is it. This is what you meant when you said dancing. Oh, I loved it. And if you're looking for a man, you say, well, it's just women. No, it isn't. Come to the first service and learn from Godwin Odogwu. I don't think anybody dances better than Godwin Odogwu, Judy's husband. I mean, he's just all over. And I'm thankful. I'm saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We can learn from each other. I love how some of you move to the music. And without picking you out, I just see certain ones of you just like this to the music. And that's a form of a dance. It's a form of a dance. You know, well, I'm holding a baby. Well, hold the baby, whatever it takes to dance before the Lord. Give Him the glory. Now, I've told you to worship Him with instruments, with dance, in a godly way. Last of all, who should we praise? Number four, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let everything that has breath, verse 6, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All our praise is to be to our great God. You saw Cyprian up here this morning. Cyprian took us out to a place, Pastor Will called it a hamlet. I don't know what it is. It's a little place. It's bigger than Upper Corn and Lower Corn. They're just some little tiny villages, just tiny little spots where there's a few people living. And we were there in Kriana and then in Miklesht and in Stetskan, these little villages. And here came some Romanian ladies, a trio, from a church in Chisinau. And they started singing an English song. I love the Romanian songs. But they started singing this song. And when I read this verse, that's all I could see. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I got to do it. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah unto our God. Glory hallelujah unto our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer. Yes He is. Yes He is. God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer. Yes He is. Yes He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Dear Jesus, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All our praise is to be to Him. God can make the rocks cry out. He can cause the mountains and the hills to praise Him. He can cause the sun, moon, and stars and the planets and the galaxies to praise Him. But here He has His pulse on our pulse. Now I just want you to do this, every one of you. Just take your pulse and your finger that has a pulse in it and put it on your pulse. Do you feel anything? Do you feel anything? What do you feel? What's going on? Bump, 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 bump. You know it's why? It's because you got a breath. It's because you got a breath. Who's he talking to? The intended emphasis of the psalmist is on everything that has a pulse, everything that has a breath. The intended thing is on humans, men, women, boys, and girls. Let everyone praise God, regardless of location, age, race, background, economic status, health condition. Everyone has reason to praise God. Well, just look for it. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and your life is inextricably linked in obedience to Him, then however tough times get, whatever losses you incur, however your heart is breaking, in spite of it all, you and I can sing through our tears, every praise is to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. You see, if we have Jesus in our heart, He'll strengthen us. He's comforting us. He's sustaining us. He's guiding us. And He's going to take us home before long to heaven. And we're going to live with Him eternally. You have a breath? Praise the Lord. When the struggle of life is over, it's only just begun. It's only just begun. It'll be for all eternity. None of us here have a legitimate reason. We're breathing. None of us have a legitimate reason not to praise the Lord. Every Sunday morning, without fail, how do we begin the worship? Does anyone remember? What do we do? the doxology. We don't even give credit to where credit is due. God used a man in the 17th century by the name of Thomas Ken to write those words. Paul didn't sing the doxology. They didn't have it. Thomas Ken wrote it in the 17th century. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you for singing with me. Never fail to sing it on Sunday mornings. Praise can be expressed so many ways: through singing, through music, through clapping, through dancing, through lifting our hands, through kneeling, through lying prostrate on the floor. And the list goes on. Through prophesying, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Preaching, teaching, through testifying, thanksgiving, prayer, sacrificial service, giving, and the list goes on. Praise should characterize our lives. The psalmist would have us understand all the praise must be to the Lord, the great I am that I am. He will say, I am whatever you need. I am. Now, the only qualification for praising God is that you can say it. Breathe. Are you breathing? And praise the Lord. The fact that God commands us to praise Him means that praise is not a feeling primarily. It can be a mood. It can have to do with circumstances, but it's just in part a feeling. It's not at its heart a feeling. Praise is an obedience to our great God. It stems from deliberately focusing on Him. It's the result of willingly being God-centered in our thinking. John Calvin lets us know it's not an option. It's our responsibility. He calls the 150 Psalms the anatomy of all the parts of our soul. And I say, John, you got that one right. Every feeling, every thought, every expression, every experience, every praise that we're capable of bringing before God. And I just learned this going through the Psalms. I didn't realize that even the imprecations, calling down God's judgment on those that won't repent, is a praise to our God, because He will ultimately take us to His home, and He'll cast the wicked into everlasting fire. All praise to our God. That's when the hallelujahs break out in Revelation 19. It's true. Even the laments. Lament is a form of praise. Yes, because who are you lamenting to? You're lamenting to God Almighty. You're coming to God, and you're giving Him how awful it is. And you're telling God, do you see this? Oh, Lord. And then He takes you through and you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Chuck Swindoll calls those bad times the grind of praiseless times. He writes, those words don't just flow from our lips. In our grief, we're usually preoccupied with ourselves. We can't praise the Lord so often because we're looking in the mirror. We're looking at ourselves and seeing how bad it is. We can't, staring at ourselves, praise the Lord. We have to get beyond ourselves and look up to the Lord. And then we can praise Him in the middle of our awful circumstances. We must learn to look up to Him and praise Him. Now I'm coming to the very end. Who should praise Him? I hope you'll be happy. I hope I'll hit you. Who should praise Him? Democrats. Republicans. Independents. Undecided. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Longtime Christians, new believers, seekers, agnostics, senior citizens. By the way, the agnostic, why should he praise the Lord? Because if he doesn't praise Him now, he's going to have to praise Him one of these days. Every knee will bow. Even the atheist, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't wait till it's too late. Senior citizens, praise the Lord. High school seniors, preschoolers, whites, black, yellows, Latinos, and whoever I left out. Native Americans, rich, poor, or in between. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, E-freers, non-denominationals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hymn lovers, praise singers, organists, drummers, converted misers. Praise the Lord. By the way, I heard of a converted miser recently. He was a converted miser, and God really got a hold of his soul. He got a hold of his spirit. He truly was born again. He changed. He wasn't a Scrooge anymore. He began to give greatly to God's work. And he heard about one of his neighbors that sustained a very serious loss. His immediate reaction from the Lord was, I need to go out to my smokehouse. Here he has hundreds of hams out there, and he smokes them in his smokehouse. Sells them. You got to give one of your hams to those people. But you know what happened to him on the way to the smokehouse? The old nature just kind of got a hold of him, and the devil started saying, you know, half a ham will be all they need. They're not that big a family, just half a ham. And he says, no, I'm going to do a whole ham. No, half a ham will do. Half a ham. Finally, you know what that man did? He started to praise the Lord. He got upset with the enemy. He said, look, Satan, if you don't pipe down, I'll give him the whole smokehouse. That's praising the Lord. You see, you praise Him by your giving. When you come to church and you give past where it hurts, you give past because I'm going to give Him the whole smokehouse. I'm going to give Him everything I've got. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I want to close with the last words that John Wesley is known to have ever spoken. That 18th century founder of Methodism, before he died, he said, I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. And then he died. You don't have to worship the Lord. You don't have to praise Him if you don't have a pulse. If you're not breathing, you don't need to praise Him. You're breathing. Let everything that has a pulse, let everything that has a breath praise the Lord. That's where I stop preaching in the Psalms. That's where I call you if you have a breath to praise the Lord. I love you all. I thank you for your patience with me as your shepherd. As I've taken you through all of these different kinds of Psalms, 150 of them, I hope it's been a mighty blessing to you. It's been a mighty blessing to me. But if you don't get anything else out of this whole series, but this last grand finale, let everything that has what? Breath. Praise the Lord. That's you. I don't want to hear any of you ever say, or hear that you've ever said, I don't want to go to heaven, all that praising up there. I want to do something fun. I'll tell you what. Sometimes Steve Pilley, he stood up here teaching Sunday school class. And I know he said this, and I know he's kind of joking with us. But he says, he'll say to certain ones, he'll pick us out and say, well done, come on in, well done, good and faithful servant. Steve, get in here. But I'm telling you one thing. Every last one of us that are living with Him eternally, to be able to look into the face of the one that gave His life for you, what a praise it will be. When we look into His face, the one that saved us by His grace, we'll praise Him, and we'll praise Him forever. There's a lot more that we'll do, but it'll be filled with praise, and it will never end. Would you bow your heads? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm asking you this morning, Christians, are you praising the Lord? If you don't, the rocks will cry out. If you don't, you're disobeying the injunction, the command of God to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Maybe you're here today and God has really spoken to your heart. And you're a believer and you just say, I don't praise the Lord. Not just half enough, not a tenth enough, not a thousandth. I just don't praise Him much. Pray for me. pray for me that I'll start to praise the Lord. If that's the case and you just say, pray for me, I need to start a life of praise. Just raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I need to praise God. Yes, sir. Lord, you see all these hands. We want to praise you. Teach us how. And now, Father, there may be some people right here that need to praise you for salvation, the greatest miracle of all, the mightiest deed. When you pick us out of the miry clay and set us on a solid rock, if today is your day to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to share a prayer with you, and you can pray it right where you are, and Christ will come into your heart. I wonder how many of you would raise a hand and just say, it's my day, I need Jesus as my Savior. Just put up your hand long enough for me to see it. I need Jesus as my Savior. Just slip up your hand right now. Just put it up. I need Jesus. You can put it up right now. Just put up your hand. If God's speaking to you. Yes, sir. Are there any others? Yes, ma'am. I need Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Anyone else? I just raise your hand. I need Jesus. Just slip up your hand if God's speaking to your heart. It's okay to raise your hand. Yes, sir. I need Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Do you want Him in your life? I saw one of you just, I could see you're just wrestling in your heart. You didn't get your hand up, but you can get your heart up. With these that have raised their hands, just say, Dear God, I'm a sinner. I humbly admit it. I need your salvation. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. Please come in. Come in, Jesus. Live inside me by your Holy Spirit. I won't turn back. I've decided to follow you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, just on a sheet of paper, just write out your name, and as you go by, just give your name to me. I want to follow you up. I'd love your address. We'll send you some follow-up material. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may grace, mercy, and peace, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the blessed presence of Christ, our risen and abiding Savior, fall down and rest upon us as we continue, as long as we have breath, to praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.